If you would, take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I appreciate your prayers. I can feel them tonight. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Love to hear the Bible pages turn. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Let's begin in verse 10. The Word of God says, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty." What a list. "For all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding." Look back with me in verse 14 for the title of this text. But who am I? But who am I? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege to open your word. How we take it for granted so often that we hold in our hands the very word of God. And I believe that with all my heart, Lord. Thank you for preserving it through the centuries. Thank you that we have the freedom in this country to open it and to worship you publicly. I know one day that might not be the case in this country, but now we have that freedom. Allow us to use it. And Lord, I pray that you would use me tonight, dear Lord. Help Brian to be put aside and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be seen. And I pray that you would just allow the Holy Spirit to come upon me and speak through me. Allow me to be your vessel. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, David's reign is wrapping up. He has not been allowed to build the temple of God as his heart desires was. He wanted to build God's temple in Jerusalem. But God said, "You are a man of war, and you are not allowed to build my home, my house." So God allows David to collect all the articles that are going to be needed to build this temple. And his son Solomon is going to be allowed to build the temple. So chapter 29 is really David praising the Lord for allowing him to be part of collecting these materials. The golds, the silver, the wood, everything that would be needed, the jewels, the clothing, the cloth. His people gave offerings after offerings. And then David came with his own offering and gave an offering. And he's praising the Lord that he's able to be used of God here to not just build, he not be allowed to build a temple, but he's allowed to have a part of it and to collect the materials. And he says something interesting in verse 14 that we saw. It says, "But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?" We all have said in our lifetimes, or will say in our lifetimes, "Who am I? What is my purpose in life? Why am I here?" I know I've said that in my life. "Lord, what is your will for my life?" But after I was saved, but before I was saved, I was like, "Who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose in life?" And we search the world for things to fill that void and that gap of who we are and why we're here. But after we're saved, we ask God, "Who am I?" I'm a child of the King. I'm a joint heir with Christ. Who am I? I'm a nobody. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Who am I that God would send His Son to die for me? Who am I that He would allow me to serve Him? Who am I that He would want to use me? Who am I? Has there ever been a time in your life you've said those things? Who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose? What is Your will, O Lord? With the Lord's help tonight, I'd like to introduce to you an Old Testament saint. Someone that is not mentioned very often in the Scriptures or from a pulpit. I've actually never heard a message on this man. But the Lord gave me this message, and I praise Him for it because He taught me this week about this man. And he most likely asked these questions: who am I, and why am I here, and what is my purpose in life? And through his example that is recorded in the Scriptures, he discovered these answers. God allowed him to understand who he was, and why he was here, and what his purpose was. And his life and example may help others to understand God's will for their lives. His name is found in the books of 2 Samuel and 1 Kings and 1 Chronicles. And he arrives in the biblical record with this story already in motion. However, his humble beginnings were in a place of obscurity. He starts in obscurity and he ends up in a place of honor and distinction. But all through it, he's saying, who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? So turn with me and let me introduce him to you in 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And verse 20, the Word of God says, "And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a violent man, And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a violent man of Kabzeel. We have to do a little searching to find this place in the Bible, Kabzeel, that our man Benaiah is from. Tonight we're going to look at the life of Benaiah and what the Scriptures tell us about him. There's not much, but what we see is amazing. And he's from this little place called Kabzeel. He is first searching for his purpose in life. He is starting his life in obscurity. Like most of us, we start in obscurity. Benaiah was raised in a village. In Nehemiah 11:25, they tell us that Kabzeel was a village. And if you study in the Hebrew, the village was just an enclosure, a settlement. It wasn't a city, it wasn't a town, it wasn't a major place of population, it was a village. It was a small spot in the land, in the promised land. And Kabzeel, a village, was a tribe of the tribe of Judah. And it was in the southernmost corner of the land of Judah. It was almost in the country of Edom. You could not go any further southeast in the land of Judah or in the promised land while still being in the promised land, except for Kabzeel. He was far removed from places of prominence. He was far removed from the temple or from the tabernacle in Jerusalem. He was far removed from the things of God. He was far removed from the people of God. He was in this tiny village, living a life, starting a life in Kabzeel. Nobody knew his name. Nobody knew who he was. He didn't know what his purpose in life was. He was living in a town that was of the tribe of Judah, but he was not of the tribe of Judah. His father was not of the tribe of Judah. Kabzeel was a village for the descendants of the tribe of Judah. When Joshua was giving out the rewards after the conquering of the promised land, Kabzeel was part of the reward for Judah. Yet Benai was the son of Jehoiada. Let me show you some things that are just amazing about Benai. 1 Chronicles chapter 27. His name is only recorded a few places, so we'll be flipping back and forth between these three books. But 1 Chronicles chapter 27 and verse number 5. 1 Chronicles 27:5. The third captain of the host for the third month was Benai, the son of Jehoiada. What are those next three words? A chief priest. That doesn't mean Benai was a chief priest. That's talking about his father. Jehoiada was a chief priest. All right? Hold your foot. Let's turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and let's find a little bit more about his father. If we can understand who his father is, we can understand a little more about Benai. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, look with me in verse 26. 1 Chronicles 12, 26. Of the children of Levi, 4,600, and Jehoiada was the leader of the, what is he the leader of? The Aaronites. Who are the Aaronites? Levites. After Aaron. Aaron was the high priest during Moses' day. So the families of Levi were separated by Moses and by God. Each got their own type of duties in the tabernacle. Some carried the instruments of God. Some carried the tents of God. Some carried the pegs that held up the walls and the tents of God. And some were allowed to serve God in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, and in the holy place. And that is the family of Aaron. And this father, Jehoiada, was of the order of Aaron, of the tribe of Levi. So if his father is a chief priest, and his father is a descendant of Aaron, and if his father is a Levite, what does that make Benai? A Levite. He was after the order of Aaron. He was of the tribe of Levi. And he's living in a little tiny village that is the tribe of Judah. Why is he here? What is his purpose in life? What is he doing on this earth? And who am I? Is Benai saying, I'm raising up. You know how children are as you go to school and you're in the neighborhood and you're not one of us. You don't belong here. What is your purpose here? Why don't you just go with your own people? Benai is growing up among other of the tribe of Judah. And he's in a place of obscurity. Kabzeel was not a city of the Levites. It was not a city of refuge for the Levites. It was a city, a village of the Judah, tribe of Judah. King Saul is on the throne at this time. King Saul, the first king of Israel, was not a great friend to the tribe of Levi. He was not a great friend to the priest. He wanted to do things his way. Saul was all about me. I want to do things my way. He desired to do his own path instead of God's path. Sort of a leftover ideology of the time of the judges, where man did everything in right in their own eyes. I see that as Saul. And that's sort of going through at this time. Saul is on the throne, and Jehoiada says, I've had enough of this. He is not the right king. God has a man, and I'm going to go follow that man. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, he says in verse 23, and these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to the war, and came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. The children of Judah, we see, the children of Simeon, the children of Levi. Of the children of Levi, 4,600. And one of the leaders was Jehoiada, the father of Benaiah. And he was the leader of the Aaronites that came. And with him were 3,700. And Zadok, a young man mighty of valor, and of his father's house, 22 captains. And we see the children of Benjamin and Ephraim, and it goes on. These are the men that said, "We've had enough of Saul. God has shown us that his man is David, and we're going to go help make David king." That is his father. Benaiah is growing up in this turbulent time. He's growing up in the middle of these events where Saul is not a friend to the Levites, where Saul was doing things his own way, where his father says, "We're going to make God's man the king, David." He's looking at these things and he says, "Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? Who am I?" Benaiah was searching for purpose in his life. Are you at a place in your life that you're asking these questions? Do you feel like you're in a place of obscurity? I love Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. I love Proverbs 3. Verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." He does. I can testify to that. He will direct you. It might not be as quick as you want, but He will direct you. Benaiah wants direction for his life. He is searching for purpose in his life. He is seeking God's will. He is seeking the things of God. He is seeking, "Why am I here?" And in God's time, He shows him. Benaiah was searching for purpose in his life. With the example of his father's determination, with the example of his father's courage, with his example of his father's reverence for God and the things of God and God's man, Benaiah sets off to find his place. The next time we find Benaiah mentioned in the Scriptures, he had begun to make a name for himself as a man of great strength, a man of great courage, a man fearless in the face of danger, and with the power and protection of God in his life. He knew who his God was. His father taught him well. He did not go out and do these things that I'm getting ready to show you in his own strength, in his own power. He went out knowing who his God was, and that his God was with him, and that his God would protect him because he was doing what was right. He has joined up with other like-minded men and up with David during the time of his running from King Saul, the time of Ziklag, the time of the days when David ran from Saul and he goes to to the land of the Philistines. And he goes actually to the city of Gath, which is the city where Goliath was from. And he takes up residence there. These are the days that Benaiah joins himself with David. David's on the run. David's not king. David's on the run for his life from Saul. We see in 1 Chronicles chapter 11 the next mention of Benaiah. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, look with me in verse 10. "These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, and with all Israel to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel." I go to verse 22. "Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of Valiant, thank you. Every time I come to it, somebody shout it out. Man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts." Who had done many acts. We are only given three examples of his mighty acts. But yet he is among David's mighty men. David has three very mighty men that are his closest mighty men. Manaai was the fourth mentioned. He is right up there with the three mighty men. He has proven himself to this David. He has proven himself in battle. He has proven himself in the face of danger. He has proven that he is a man of courage. He has proven to David that he is loyal. He has proven to David that he knows who God is. These men assisted David with becoming king, defeated all who stood against God's man, and helped defeat and take the city of Jerusalem. We see that in the first part of 1 Chronicles chapter 11. David says, I want to take Jerusalem. There were inhabitants there already. He says, I want Jerusalem as my capital, and I want the throne of God there. I want the ark of God there. I want the tabernacle and eventually the temple there. This is where I want God's place. And they take Jerusalem. As David was honored, as David was elevated, these mighty men, Benaiah, was honored and elevated. In verses 22 and 23, we only see three examples of his mighty deeds. But they're enough. Let's look at them slowly. Who had done many acts? He slew two lion-like men of Moab. Moab was a mighty country, warriors. And these lion-like men were lion-like in character, ferocious, brave, deadly, fearless, strong, muscular, and relentless in their attack. And he slew them both. Again it says, also he went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. I had to think of this verse and pray over this portion of the verse for a while because I had to think about a lion in a pit in a snowy day. Why is this important? What is so great about this act? Why is it recorded among the deeds of a mighty man? And then the Lord showed me a lion is cornered in a confined space. He's in a pit. He's already agitated. He's already upset. He's already on the defensive. He's ready to lash out at anyone or anything. And who goes in the pit? Benaiah jumps down in the pit. They're all standing around like, you're nuts. Are you crazy? Why are you going into a pit? But that's not all. It was snowing. It had snowed. It was a snowy day. Who has the upper hand now in a snowy pit, already there, already adjusted to his surroundings, already agitated, on the defensive, and it's snowing, the lion can walk above the snow where Benaiah is going to sink into the snow. The lion has all the advantages. And it says, Benaiah slew the lion. And the last one is the most amazing to me, where it says, he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high, and in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. Who's that sound like? Goliath. Do you think David sort of took note of this mighty deed? Boy, it almost sounds like when I faced that giant out there in the valley. He had that spear as big as a weaver's beam. He was a little bit taller. 5 cubits high. He was 7.5 feet high, roughly. And in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down, Benaiah, went down to him with a staff, a walking stick, and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. What a man. Here is a specimen of a soldier. He is becoming a place of prominence as a soldier. Remember, he's of the tribe of Levi. He is becoming a soldier that David is recognizing. And only three of his mighty acts are recorded for us, but they're enough for David to say, you're one of my mighty men. You have proven yourself over and over through countless battles that are not recorded for us, through the times that Saul is chasing David through the countryside, when David is struggling and hiding in the cave, and the three mighty men, he says, I wish I had a drop of water, a cup of water from the well in Jerusalem. And the three mighty men go out. Who stays and guards? David. The Nai is there. He's surrounding David. He's protecting David. He is a loyal soldier. The Nai was respected by not only King David, he was also respected by the Israelite soldiers, by the army. He was also respected by the foreign mercenaries that were around David. They were loyal to their king, and they respected the Nai. It says that in 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 24. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighties. He wasn't one of the three mighties, but he had the name of the three mighties. He had the reputation of the three mighties. He had the fame just like of the three mighties. He had the fame just like of the three mighties. He had the reputation. He had the respect of the three mighties. Benaiah was honorable among the 30. It says, and behold, he was honorable among the 30. The 30 mighty men, the choice group of soldiers of David. He was respected by these men. These were not deeds they just threw off and said, yeah, sure, that happened. No, they respected him. They looked up to Benaiah. But not only that, in verse 25 it says, behold, he was honorable among the 30, but attained not to the first three. He didn't want to be one of the first three. He didn't push himself into the first three groups. I'm better than them. I did more deeds than they did. I'm more honorable than them. I'm more mighty than they are. He was fine with who he was. He was fine with where he was. I'm number 4. That's okay with me. I'm where God wants me. I'm no longer in obscurity. I'm no longer asking who I am. I'm no longer asking what is my purpose in life. I'm no longer asking why am I here. I know why I'm here. I'm the 4th mighty man of David, and I'm fine with that. And he says, behold, he was honorable among the 30, but attained not to the first. He did not want to be one of the three. He didn't push himself into the three. He was okay with who he was. But then it says, and David set him over his guard. He had the respect of the three mighty. He had the respect of the 30. He had the respect of the soldiers. And he had the respect of the king, or soon to be king. He is king here. He has the respect of the king. David sets him over his guard. And we have to figure out, who is this guard? Look with me in 1 Chronicles chapter 18. And it tells us, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Don't read the Bible. Don't read a commentary before you read the Bible. Read the Bible. This is God's Word. The commentary is not God's Word. 1 Chronicles chapter 18. Look with me in verse 17. And it says, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was over the Cherethites and the Peliathites, and the sons of David were chief about the king. Benaiah was over the Cherethites and the Peliathites. When David set him over his guard, he set him over these two groups of people, the Cherethites and the Peliathites. These were foreign soldiers. These were foreign mercenaries, but not paid. They came from the land of the Philistines. When David took up abode there and residence there, when he was fleeing from Saul and he had victory after victory, people became to respect him in that land. And the Cherethites and the Peliathites came after him and says, we will follow you. They left their homeland. They came to be with David among all the journeys and the troubles that he had before he was king. But as he was honored, as he was elevated, he honored and elevated those around him. And the Cherethites and the Peliathites were David's personal bodyguards. They weren't paid as mercenaries as we think today. I'm sure they had some type of income, But they were there to protect David, and Benaiah was set over them. To be able to be placed over these foreign soldiers, these mercenaries, takes someone of great strength, someone of great courage, someone that commands leadership. Benaiah was that man. They would not just follow any man, but they followed Benaiah. Wherever the king went, Benaiah was there, and the bodyguards were there, the Cherethites and the Peliathites. They were David's personal guard. The character of Benaiah and his growing legend would have impressed these soldiers. They would have followed his command until it may have contradicted the king's command. If it contradicted King David's command, sorry, we're going with King David. He's our king. In 1 Chronicles chapter 27, we see a third place of honor. 1 Chronicles chapter 27. Look with me in verse 5. 1 Chronicles 27, 5. The third captain of the host for the third month was Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, a chief priest, and in his course were 24,000. At this point, David separates his army into groups of 24,000. It's a standing army. And every month he had a different group. And every group had a different captain. So for 12 months of the year, 24,000 were separated each month for the standing guard, the standing army of the Israelite army. And Benaiah was the captain over the third month. He had the respect of the three mighty men. He had the respect of the 30. He had the respect of his king. He had the respect of the soldiers. They followed him. They listened to him. They obeyed him. Benaiah has become a soldier of prominence. Benaiah had found his place of service, and he has remained faithful to his king. If you have been shown your place of service, are you faithful to your king? For we serve the King of Kings. Are you someone that can be trusted and depended on by your king? Thirdly, we see he was a surrendered and submitted protector. In 1 Kings, and we'll finish up here in 1 Kings, chapter number 1, David's coming to the end of his life. It says in verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 1, Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he gat no heat. David has lived a great life for the Lord. Yes, he's had falls. Yes, he has sinned. Don't we? He was a man just as we are. He was human just as we are. He needed a Savior just as we do. He needed the grace and mercy of God just like we do. He was a king that was on the last road. And his fourth son, it says in 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 5, his fourth son, Adonijah. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, Why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abathar the priest, and they followed Adonijah, helped him. Following Adonijah helped him. But Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David, were not with Adonijah. Look at verse 10. But Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not. Here is an uprising, a treasonous act, a conspiracy, a plot to take over the throne from his dying father. And Adonijah says, I will be king. So he goes out and gets support. He goes and he gets the support of the people of Israel. He goes and gets the support of the soldier, of the Israelite soldiers. He goes and gets the support of the general of the army, Joab. He goes and gets the support of one of the high priests. At this time, we have co-high priests. He goes and gets the support of Abiathar, the priest. And they lift him up and say, you're the next king. You are king. As he's gathering supporters for this overthrow, he doesn't go to Benaiah. He knows where his allegiance lay. He knows where his loyalties lay. He knows he's not a man that can be bought. He knows he's a man that will not turn his back on King David. He doesn't even approach him. He doesn't even try to approach him. It says he called not. And in that group is Nathan the prophet and the mighty men. Notice how Benaiah is a mighty man, but it says Benaiah and the mighty men. He's one of the group. Why isn't his name just singled out with Nathan the prophet and the mighty men and Solomon? See the honor God has given this man. He has such they have such respect for him, and he has gained such distinction in his life as a man that can be depended on and trusted, that he is named outside of the mighty men. God has given this man honor because he has honored those that are above him. And it says here that Benaiah conspired not, but remained faithful and loyal to his king. He was loyal. He was dependable. He was reliable. He was committed. He was trustworthy. He was a devoted person. Can those things be said of us? In 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 10, it also says, he did not attempt to gain their support of Nathan, nor of the mighty men, nor of his brother Solomon, but of Benaiah. God has already promised the throne to Solomon. Let's look at verse 23. In verse 23, so much happens here. Bear with me. And they told the king, Bathsheba is the mother of Solomon, how God can use anyone. God has given her another son, Solomon. He is to be the next king. In verse 23, before this, Nathan went to Bathsheba and says, hasn't God promised Solomon the throne? And hasn't David said that Solomon would be the next king? And they go and they sort of make this sort of story and say, let's go talk to the king and you go first and then it'll all come in and we'll get it all straightened out. So verse 23, you pick it up. And they told the king, saying, behold, Nathan the prophet. And when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, my lord, O king, hast thou said Adonijah shall reign after me and he shall sit upon my throne? For he has gone down this day and hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance and hath called all the king's sons and the captains of the host and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they eat and drink before him and say, God save King Adonijah. But me, even me thy servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon hath he not called. The mighty men are not even listed. He has gotten to a place of honor among the elite inner circle of King David. Is this thing done by my lord the king? And hast thou not showed it unto thy servant who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? Then King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king sware and said, as the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress. I love that. Even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, let my lord King David live forever. And King David said, call me Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. The king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your lord and call Solomon my son to ride upon my own mule and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there, king over Israel, and blow ye with a trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. Then ye shall come up with after him, and that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead. And I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. Look at verse 36. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king. He is not only a trusted member of the inner circle, he is allowed to speak freely in front of the king. A thing you could not do in the Old Testament unless the king gave you permission. We could see that in the book of Esther. But here, Benaiah has freedom to speak freely in front of the king. And he says, and answered the king and said, amen, so be it. The Lord God of my Lord, the king, say so too. As the Lord hath been with my Lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. So Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Peliathites went down and called Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. Look back with me at what Benaiah said to the king in verse 36. He said, amen, so be it. He's in agreement with his king, but also his God. Look what else he says. The Lord God. That is Jehovah Elohim. That is the eternal, almighty creator God. Do you think Benaiah knows the Lord? Do you think he knows who he's serving? Do you think he knows who gave him the power? Do you think he knows who gave him the protection? Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God, eternal, almighty creator, is who he is saying here. Look what else he says. Of my Lord the King. That is a little L. The master, my captain, my master, my earthly king. He's in humble submission to authority. And then it says, say so too. God is in agreement with the king's proclamation. That's what it means. If you put it all together, Jehovah Elohim is in agreement with King David's proclamation to make Solomon the next king. So be too. Benaiah is one of the first to honor Solomon as the next king, and he speaks a blessing to the king apparent. He was allowed into the inner court of King David as a trusted member of this assembly, even allowed to speak openly, witness the anointing of Solomon to be king, because Benaiah was a surrendered protector. The Lord God, through David and through Solomon, blessed this man. His life continues into the reign of Solomon. And through sake of time, I'll show you one verse in 1 Kings 4:4. Benaiah's submission and surrendered heart, his loyalty to David, his obedience to King David, and now his obedience to Solomon with some of the acts that go from 1 Kings 1 through 1 Kings 4, he brings Benaiah to a place of great honor. He is awarded something in 1 Kings 4:4 by the new king. It says, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the host. He's made general of the Israelite army. From a place of utter obscurity to a little tiny village, you can't get any further away from the things of God. To a place so mighty and so honorable, a place of distinction as to be the general of an army. And remember, he's a Levite. God was using this man throughout his life. He had found out who he was. He had found out his purpose in life. He had found out why he was here. It was to be faithful. It was to be loyal. It was to be dedicated to God's man. What a journey Benaiah had. Here's an example of a real man that was seeking a purpose for life. Once he found that purpose, he strove with all of his energy, with God's help, to be the best at it that he possibly could. He was loyal, honest, obedient, bold, courageous, not a quitter when things got tough. Remained faithful to his God and his king throughout the difficult days. We too serve a king. We serve the King of Kings. Are you still seeking God's will for your life? Or has God shown it to you, but you didn't like it? You didn't like how it sounded. You didn't know how it looked. You're looking for another will. Looking for your own will. Or something that makes you even more happy. Once God shows you His will for your life, don't run from it.
Amen.
As Brother Keith has been teaching in Sunday school about Jonah. I've been there. I've run from God. Don't do it. If God has shown you His will, don't run from Him. There's so much sweeter in His will. Once God shows you His will for your life, don't run from it. Don't try to hide from it. Don't try to reason your way out of it. Just get busy and do the best that you can with the talents that God has given you. If you give Him honor, if you give Him determination and trust, and you place all of you in His hands, He will place you in a place of honor and distinction eventually in your life. He will place honor upon you as you give honor to Him. Do the best that you can. Be loyal. Be honest. Be obedient. Be bold. Be courageous. Don't be a quitter. Above all, be faithful. Purpose in your heart right now to go forward in the Lord's strength and the Lord's power to stay by the stuff. Times are going to get hard in this country to serve the Lord. We just saw in the news, I can't remember where it was, in Pakistan, I believe, that two bombers went in and blew themselves up right outside of a Christian minority church, killing many people. It's coming this way. Don't quit. Be faithful. So let's get busy for the Lord. We serve one mightier than King David. We serve one mightier than King Solomon. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us get busy for the Lord. The time that we have left to serve is short. Let's work until we hear the trump of God. There's much to do. There's much to do. You could look around here today, yesterday. There is much to do. The things that we have going on here, I believe, are honoring the Lord. But we need workers. We're not going to beg you. But if the Lord has placed in your heart to do something for Him, get busy and do it. If you don't know what you need, where we need help, talk to Pastor. We have needs. And as we increase the bus ministry, we're going to need teachers. We're going to need assistant teachers. We're going to need monitors. I'm pushing for, God has given me a vision for the bus ministry, and I'm going to go forward in it. And I need workers. And as I bring children and adults in, those teachers are going to need help. Those monitors are going to need help. Let's get busy for God. We have a work to do. He has given us a work. Not King David, not King Solomon. The King of Kings said, I want to use you. Are you willing? Lord, we thank you so much for the life of Benaiah that you have documented for us. How we could have said so many more things about this great man. We serve the one mightier than his king. And how faithful are we to our king? How do we fail him day by day? Oh Lord, I pray that you would raise up in this ministry, in this church body, people that are sold out to you, that are as of Benai, that they are loyal and dependable and reliable and love their king, so much so that they would willing to give their lives for their king. And we have such faithful workers here now. But Lord, we have needs. And we're not going to beg. We know you're mighty and in charge and in control. And we know that you are able. And we know you've probably already touched people's hearts for different ministries that we have needs of. Allow them to come forward and talk to us and let us know that they're willing to be that soldier in the trenches, in the battlefield, serving you. Lord, we love you. Now let us show our love and remain faithful.